Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's a Wednesday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. It is great to be here today. The Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. It's Wednesday. They'll be delivering lunch today. And Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, on a Wednesday, I tell you, I feel the best today I have felt in some time. Aided slightly by a Diet Red Bull, I'm not going to lie. I feel fantastic. How are you, Joy?
I'm great. I'm glad you're feeling better. I saved the Diet Red Bulls for, well, I guess we're not clubbing anymore. But if I have a long night ahead of me, I'm going to be out late. Diet Red Bull's the way to go.
Yeah, I don't club anymore. I go to a racket club, maybe. That's about it. Well, I want to start the show with this. We've all understood how pro sports works. There's always 4, 5, 6, 7 really well-run organizations in all leagues. Dodgers right now are really, really well-run. Yankees last 25 years mostly been well-run. Same with the Red Sox. You know who's well-run. And then you always have 6 or 7 franchises, and it's always kind of the same ones. It's always bad ownership, poorly run franchises in all the sports. And in the NFL, you don't have to be in the club forever. I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were in the club for a long time. Now they're out of it. Sometimes you get one great player that changes everything. Often a great coach. Bruce Arians arrives, builds a good staff. Tom Brady, Buccaneers were in that bottom club. In the NFL, I would call it the clown club. And these are teams, and right now, currently in the NFL, clown club, we have very predictable teams. The Jaguars, the Texans, the Bengals, Detroit, Washington football team, the Jets, the Browns. Now, the Browns would throw a pushback. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, stop. You made the playoffs 1 year. You've been a tire fire for 25 years. The fact that you'd argue it is why you're in the clown club. Now, Washington, by the way, just made the playoffs. But again, you've been a mess for 15 years. You've let go of all sorts of good coaches and good players. So it's the NFL clown club. And there's another team that is showing signs of getting into the clown club. According to Les Bowen, he's a very good reporter, has been for years in the NFL, Philadelphia. He says, spoke with an NFL management source about the Carson Wentz melodrama. He said if Wentz doesn't want the Bears won't trade for him. Eventually, the Eagles will just take whatever the Colts are offering. Maybe a second, third-round pick for Carson Wentz. Also, the Eagles will have to draft a quarterback 6th overall. God. What a mess. They're all their own doing. There are 5 signs, if you're an NFL fan, that you are moving into the NFL clown club. Number 1, you start to have a lot of power struggles in the front office, a lot of ego. Number 2, generally over the last 7-8 years, you fired a coach, Andy Reid, who you look back and go, he's a lot better than the current coach we have. Number 3, your quarterback situation, it just feels unsettled and handled poorly too often. Number 4 is there's an unhealthy level of arrogance despite brief success. You know, Saxonville, everybody wrote a book for the Eagles after Super Bowl. And number 5 is increasingly, you're not a great drafting team. So even though you're a bad team with good picks, you're missing a lot of picks. The Eagles, by the way, haven't drafted a Pro Bowler in 7 years except Carson Wentz. It looks like Philadelphia is about to enter the NFL clown club. The story this morning is Yeah, they're not going to get anything for Wentz. And they're going to have to draft another quarterback. I mean, they had Wentz. It was all their own doing. They had Wentz, they paid Wentz, and they butchered Wentz. And then last year, in what was one of the strangest things any of us had seen, even Chris Collinsworth, nicest guy in the world on the air, went ballistic. They had Jalen Hurts playing in a one-possession game, building confidence, division rival, playoffs on the line for Washington, and they pull him so a third-string guy can get reps. Jalen Hurts was on the sidelines, not happy. Of course he wasn't happy. Shouldn't have been happy. So I thought this morning, let's just make it official. Instead of just knocking on the door, let us open it, and the Philadelphia Eagles are officially, congratulations, in the NFL Clown Club with Washington, the Jets, the Lions, the Jags, the Bengals, the Browns, and the Houston Texans. You don't have to be in it forever. I mean, hey, Cleveland rattles off an 11-5. We may have to just pull them out. Joe Burrow looks very promising. You don't even have to be a playoff team. If you look like you're fairly well run, but those five signs in Philadelphia, front office, egos, looks like Andy Reid's a lot better than the 19-year-old you just hired. Quarterback situation feels a little poorly handled. You start lining those things up, you have an unhealthy level of arrogance for very little success, and your drafting sort of goes off the rails in recent years. Philadelphia, congratulations. Good luck working your way out of it. It's taken Cleveland a long time. They've been a 20-year charter member. I want to shift to this. So it's kind of embarrassing. I'm not a big fan of awards. I always said this about radio and television. I know who can play. I know who's good when the red light's on. I worked in local TV for 14 years. Every place I worked, there were three or four people. They're just great. They weren't always the people that won awards. You know who's good when the light goes on. You know who can't handle chaos. You know who's just naturally gifted. Reporters, editors, you know who they are. You don't have to have a plaque to tell you that. So LeBron James has only won four MVPs. He hasn't won one in 7 years. It's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing for the people who vote on it because he's easily the most valuable player in the league. But it's really a difficult word. What does valuable mean? Now, in American, statistically, in America, men make more money than women in a household on average. I would argue women are more valuable in the household. If the guy leaves, pays a little child support alimony, the family structure can still be held together by the mother. But if the mom goes off the rails, the family implodes. Guy's got too much ego. Now, I'm not saying all the time. There are obviously exceptions. But I've always felt in my family, it was mom and my sister and my wife. They're more valuable than I am. They keep it all together. And there's a big disparity in the NBA between talent and leadership. I think there's almost no super valuable players in the NBA. I think there's about three. But I think there's tons of talent. I'll give you an example. The Lakers last night won without Anthony Davis. They're 5-1 this year without him. They're 11-4 in 2 years without him. They win just as much without him. He's not that valuable. The Pelicans were bad with him. They're bad without him. They're 12-15 this year. They didn't go overboard with him. They weren't good with him. They're not good without him. The Lakers win with him. The Lakers win without him. I'll give you another guy, Kevin Durant. The Nets have won three straight games without him. The Warriors won a title without him. The Warriors won 75% of their games when he missed it. He's talented. But what's value? Kawhi Leonard, the year the Raptors won the title. They were 17-5 when Kawhi Leonard didn't play. He was great. How valuable. They were winning before him, and they've won after him. Giannis. Oh, Giannis. He's back-to-back MVP. The Milwaukee Bucks are the worst team in the league when trailing after three quarters. They're 0-9. They're awful. Why? Because you don't want Giannis to have the ball with 4 minutes left in the game. He can't shoot. He's an incredibly gifted player. Valuable? They're on a four-game losing streak. You know why they're struggling right now? He's playing. You know who's not? Drew Holiday's not playing. And they're losing. Drew Holiday is the glue to that team. Giannis is the most talented. There's three players in this league, to me, that should always be top three and most valuable player. LeBron James, embarrassing he hasn't won in 7 years. Chris Paul, everywhere he goes, they win. Everywhere he leaves, now Oklahoma City's no good again. And Steph Curry. Steph Curry's always been the glue to the Warriors. He was the glue before KD got there. He was the glue when KD was there. And he's been the glue since he left. But you start looking around this league, Anthony Davis is great. Lakers are 11-4 when he doesn't play. And you could say, well, they wouldn't win a title without him. Right now, this team constituted as it is, I think they'd get to the title game. I'm not sure if they'd win it. They'd get there. This league, people confuse gifted and long and talented and spectacular with valuable. Valuable is you leave the team or you leave your family and it becomes an unglued, untethered mess. That's never been the case with AD. It's never been the case with KD. It's never been the case with Kawhi. It's always the case with Chris Paul. Have we talked about Blake Griffin? Have we talked about him one time, once, since Chris Paul left Blake Griffin? I mean, it's like milk carton. It's anonymous. He's like a prank phone call. It's anonymous. Where is Blake Griffin? No, they don't even talk about him with the Pistons. So it's interesting. Lakers, again, win last night without AD. Nobody's disputing his talent. Value? I'd argue it all day.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So there's a story out today. The salary cap, because of COVID, is going to drop this year. It's not going up, which means it's going to make for some interesting conversations in NFL front offices. You're going to have to get rid of some expensive good players. The story today is Cleveland's going to probably have to move Odell Beckham. This is something we've been on for 2 years. We've been saying this for 2 years. He's brittle. He's expensive. He's a star. He doesn't fit in Cleveland. And Baker Mayfield was clearly, data proves it, no debate, better without him. This goes to a root argument that people struggle with. The idea that more talent is always better for football teams is not true. There are individual talents with young quarterbacks where they sometimes feel pressured to throw the ball to them. We've been on this for 2 years. Look at the data. Move Odell. He's brittle. He'll get hurt again. Move him. They didn't. Now they're stuck because he's missed 25 games over the past 4 years. Why would you want him? Who wants a brittle, expensive wide receiver when college football, once again this year, is going to hand the NFL 25 to 28 receivers in the draft? There'll also be several undrafted wide receivers that'll make NFL teams. And receivers out of college are starring earlier in the NFL. They're making first and second year impacts. But this is the reality with Cleveland, which has always struggled with low sports self-esteem. They care deeply about what you think of them and what the media thinks of them. If I do any Cleveland rant, it always gets huge hits. Why? Because they care. I can rip successful sports teams. Nobody cares. Inner scoreboard, outer scoreboard. A lot of guys say they're confident. Outer scoreboard, they're very insecure. Inner scoreboard people don't have to tell you how great they are. Brown fans are paralyzed by what people think. So they didn't want to move off Odell Beckham, because they wanted to prove to everybody, stars can work in Cleveland. We can bring stars. They can work, because everybody said, he's not going to work there. He's a London guy. He's a Paris guy. He's a New York guy. He's a Hollywood guy. He's got houses in New York and Hollywood. He don't want to be in Cleveland. And he didn't. But Cleveland was paralyzed by it. We're going to prove that Odell Beckham can work in Cleveland. Now he's brittle and expensive, and you're not going to get much for him. You'll get something for him, but you could have gotten so much more. And the signs were obvious. Like last year, it's no longer disputable. Of the nine receivers, the nine top receivers Baker Mayfield targeted last year, Odell Beckham was last in passer rating and completion percentage from Baker. That means Baker's completion percentage was lower throwing to Odell than any other player, and his passer rating was lower than throwing to any other player. It's not even disputable now. He forces the ball to Odell Beckham. But this is why it's really important in the NFL to not worry about what other people think of you. This is something we've been banging on for 2 years. Odell wasn't a great fit. Baker was forcing the ball to him. A little bit like Dak and Dez. Remember, the Cowboys moved off him. Dak felt like he had to get the ball to Dez, and Dak's numbers were fine without Dez once he got Amari Cooper. So the story today, the Browns will have to move Odell. I don't think they'll get nearly the haul they would have 2 years ago. If you remember, back in, it was 2019 actually, I think he played 15 or 16 games, had 1,000 yards. That was the time to move him. But they wanted to prove, stars work in Cleveland. We're going to prove. Don't worry about what people think. Pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. History of injuries. That was the day you moved him. Look at the data. Move him. You could have gotten a first-round pick for him. You'd be out of your mind to get a first-round pickup for Odell Beckham now. You'd be out of your mind. Expensive and hurt all the time.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
The Houston Texans can get a bunch of draft picks for Deshaun Watson. And I think the time is hot. He's off a great season. You don't want to trade him, but you could get a ton for it. But the Texans would screw it up anyway because they don't know what they're doing. It's a prime example with the New York Jets, a dysfunctional franchise. And I like Joe Douglas, the new GM, but Robert Saleh is an unproven head coach. So they're going to bail on Sam Darnold. Will the Colts like Sam Darnold? Kyle Shanahan like Sam Darnold? Smart people in the league like Sam Darnold. And the Colts will probably land him, if not Wentz, or the Niners will. Somebody that's good is going to get Sam Darnold because good people like him. You're reading all the stories. And the Jets are going to bail on him, and they're going to bring in a rookie quarterback from the Mountain West Conference in a division with Bill Belichick, best defensive coach in football history, Sean McDermott, great defensive coach for Buffalo, and Brian Flores, the makings of an amazing defensive coach. Translation, Kyle Wilson's going to go 0-6 in division year one and year two. Or you could get that second pick if you're the Jets, and you could get three first-rounders for it, a couple seconds, potentially. And you've already got, because of the Jamal Adams trade, multiple firsts. And you could stick with Sam Darnold, who's been in the league, who now understands the National Football League, and support him with 7, 8, 9 first- and second-round picks the next 2 years. So I look at the Jets, and I think they're gonna eventually screw it up because they're the Jets. And they're going to, if you go look at what the Jets are doing, you know, I understand them moving off Sam Darnold. He hasn't won, and GMs and coaches like their own quarterback. So they're going to move off Sam Darnold. But it's going to be a revolving door of losses because they're going to bring in a rookie quarterback, and he's going to get his butt handed to him by Belichick, Brian Flores, and Sean McDermott. Defensive coaches that are elite in this league eat rookies for lunch for 2 years. They eat them for lunch. And Kyle Wilson's going to have to come in and start Zach Wilson. And you don't even know if Robert Saleh can coach. You have no idea. So he's going into now the best coached division in the NFL in terms of defense. McDermott, Flores, and Belichick with a rookie quarterback. Or you can stay with Darnold and get multiple first rounders, your own from the Jamal Adams trade, and from that, moving your number two pick. And just give him an all-star. You could solve every issue by the second round this year. You really could. If you trade that pick and get a first and a second, you'd have three firsts. You'd have multiple seconds. You'd have, I think they have three thirds. You'd solve all your problems by the third round. You wouldn't even have to hit on all your picks. You could hit on about four of them. Get a corner, get a pass rusher, get a wide receiver, and one more offensive lineman. Four of your six picks you're solved, and you have cap money. Give Sam some players. But, I mean, you know, you give these teams all these picks, and like Houston, you're going to get a boatload of picks. They'll screw it up. So if the Jets move off Darnold and get, oh, my God, you got this quarterback. And you still got to be able to make it work. And I the idea that I'm going to have a rookie quarterback in New York in that division against those coaches, Buffalo's a great football team. Belichick somehow last year won 7 games, and Miami's really close. Really close to being an excellent team. They're in the rebuilding process. They're one draft away. And you're going to bring in a kid from the Mountain West Conference. God, good luck with that.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Well, Antoine Walker won a title with the Heat, played 8 years in Boston, 12 years overall. He was a great scorer, an NBA champ, and a first-round pick, and a three-time All-Star. And he lives in one of my favorite cities in America, Chicago. He is now joining us live. All right, we got a couple of things to bat around here. Let's start with this. I said this earlier today in my opening rant. There are talented players, and then there are guys that are talented and valuable. Like Chris Paul is valuable. He leaves, teams get worse. He arrives, everybody gets better. I know nobody likes him, and he's difficult, but he's really valuable. Then there's guys like Giannis. I know he's talented, but Antoine, I'm over it. He's a bad late game player. They can't come from behind. Like, where do you land right now on Giannis in Milwaukee?
Giannis is a guy, and I agree with you to a certain degree, is that it's tough to coach him because he's a two-time MVP. And I don't want to take anything away from that. He's earned that award, and he's done a great job over the last 4 or 5 years of developing his game. But if he wants to be a champion, he has to get a post-up game. He has to get a mid-range game. I'm not necessarily concerned with the three-point shooting, maybe lessen your value and maybe take only a couple a game. And then the free throw shooting. I mean, he's shooting 64% right now. So that means that he cannot be trusted late in games. I think the Miami Heat put the blueprint out on him, how you're going to be able to guard him. And now teams are taking that in full advantage. If he's not in the open floor, it's very hard for Giannis to score. And he has to figure that out. So everybody's like, oh, the Bucks, he needs to lead the Bucks. He needs to go other places. He needs to do this and do that. They need to add this piece. Unfortunately, their problem was with their own personal superstar. He has to get better. His offensive skill level has to get up if he wants to compete with the Kevin Durants, with the LeBron James of the world, if he wants to be in the championship contention. If not, they will continue to get bounced in the playoffs because of his lack of offensive performance. He has to get better. And I know it's tough, because he's a two-time MVP, and what coach is going to step in and tell him that he has to get better?
Yeah, no. Your point, though, LeBron is always tinkering with his game to get better. Mm-hmm. It looks like Giannis is working on the stuff he wants to work on, but not elevating his game. Now, Speaking of Brooklyn, listen, we all know it's a tremendous offensive team. I still don't think you can play. I think KD and James Harden could win a title if they were better defensively on the other spaces. What do you do with three great offensive players? I mean, I watch them when they play. They're terrible defensively, Antoine.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because they're so talented offensively. This is the first time in NBA history that we're seeing three guys that do not really need each other offensively. All three of these guys can score the basketball, can do amazing things on the offensive end. But when you want to win a championship, Colin, you got to make sacrifices. When I played for the Miami Heat, I was in the prime of my career. When I came in, Pat Riley told me I need to make a sacrifice. I couldn't be a 20-10 guy no more. I have to do other things on the floor. The team was built around Shaq and D-Wade. These guys, somebody is going to have to make a commitment on the defensive end. I think Kevin Durant is very capable of doing that. We've seen him be a very good two-way player. James Harden has the body and the strength to be a good player. We see him make some defensive plays from time to time. But that's the question mark is Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving's never made a commitment to the defensive end, and he hurts you because the point guard is the toughest position in the NBA. Every night you're going against tough point guards. So I don't know if they have that. And they don't have the necessary role players besides DeAndre Jordan, who's kind of had a defensive, you know, mentality on that team. So they're going to struggle at times, but I don't know if teams can get to 130. You know, I don't know how many NBA teams in a 7-game series can get to 130. And then you got moments like last night where any one of those guys can get you 40, and that's very difficult to beat.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. This past week I was home, and I was watching Boston lose to Washington, and the internet exploded, and people were banging on Brad Stevens. And my takeaway was watching that game. Have we overvalued the Celtics' talent? Now, I like Jason Tatum. I think he's really a spectacular talent. But I look at the rest of that team and I think it's a lot of guys. And I think to myself, nothing against Danny Ainge, but I don't see a lot of difference maker players. Are the Celtics just a good team because they just have mostly good players?
they are a good team. I don't believe they're a championship team, especially now in the Eastern Conference where you got James Harden that's added to the Brooklyn Nets, and that's going to be very difficult for the next couple years to get past them. But you got to start from the top. I think Kemba Walker is not the same guy because of injury. I think he's there downplaying his knee. He hasn't really recovered. You saw that in the bubble when he tried to come back. And even this season, he's not the same guy. I think it's something really wrong with his knee. I do like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum long-term to be your two wings. They seem like they work very well together. Where they dropped the ball a little bit is that they didn't get nothing for Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
I think if Gordon was going to go somewhere, you should have been able to get some type of big. I think you got a Dwight Howard that was out there. So you had to get a serviceable big that's going to be defensive-minded for them. Now, granted, Marcus Smart is not playing right now, probably the heart and soul of this team. The one guy who can, you know, guard four positions, and, you know, he's the leader vocally on this team. So when he comes back, they'll be a little bit better. But when you talk about – I don't think they're better than Philly. I don't believe they're – actually, I don't think they're better than the Milwaukee Bucks, even with the way Giannis is playing. And I know they're not better than Brooklyn. So they're still a ways away from getting over that. And be honest with you, Kyle, I don't know if Brad Stevens is the coach. I mean, he's honestly done a terrific job. He's won a ton of games, but he hasn't got over that hump either.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to put that out there too. Sometimes, you know, we blame the player. Sometimes you got to look at the total situation there. So they're gonna continue to win games because they got two all-star wings. But what are you talking about getting to the championship level? I don't think they're there yet.
I only got 2 minutes left, Anton, but I want to ask you this. Anthony Davis, forget the injury, was not having a very good year for him offensively, and we were expecting more. Is it fair to say that he's a talented guy, but he's never a one? He's just the best two in NBA history. He doesn't have a one mentality. This was going to be the year, and he's played poorly offensively. Maybe that's just who he is.
No, I think the 71 days, the shortened season, he didn't understand it. Probably partied a little bit too long. Didn't come in probably the best shape possible. When we first saw him go to the Lakers, he was spending a lot of time with LeBron. You saw a lot of videos, a lot of Instagrams of them being in the weight room together. And I'm not saying I don't have insight to say that they're not doing that. But I felt like that just watching him, that he was not the same guy that we saw finish off in the bubble last year and play great in the playoffs. And to be great and to be one of the elite players in this league, every year you got to add a little something. You got to continue to get better. That's why the Kevin Durants, the Steph Currys, the LeBron James, the James Harden, those guys do it for 5, 6, 7, 8 years at a time because they continue to add things to their game. And right now we're not seeing that. But also you got to remember this too about Anthony Davis. He's always been injury prone. Always. And I think that's the reason why he signed a 5-year deal, because he knows he gets hurt a lot.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to put a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal on his body. So his pain tolerance is probably not very high. So LeBron James done a good job last year of keeping him and keeping them focused on playing and not missing a lot of games, but they're going to miss him. And then you're going to have to wait till he gets back into basketball shape to make a real run. So him being out really hurts the Lakers as far as longer term, because you got to get him right if LeBron wants to win another title.
Yeah, great stuff today, Antoine. 12 years in the NBA, a 3-time All-Star. I'm not sure if I've had you on before, but you make a lot of really interesting points. Mm-hmm. And a Chicago guy living in the city.
Yes, sir.
Hopefully they'll – I think they've opened up restaurants a little bit in Chicago. Once this cold spell is gone, you can go out and go to Chicago, cut and steak 48 and live it up a little.
I know. You come to Chicago, look me up now. Look me up. I'm right here.
I will. I promise I will. Great talking to you, man. Appreciate it.